from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Was the preseason. There were certain things that happened this preseason, like the highlights that we saw, Bo Nix, Jay Daniels, all sorts of things. And we will always have to keep, you know, Bob's take.
Caleb Williams is not going to be a successful quarterback in this league. Book it.
Still believe in that.
Yeah. It's okay. A preseason game.
That's fine. I'm doing the same with Bo Nix. Bo Nix looked good. It's a preseason game. I could care less.
Yeah.
Guy's trash.
Bo Nix will be better than Caleb Williams this year.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
So what was your...
I mean, are we throwing that Rams quarterback away because he had four interceptions, led him to a touchdown drive at the end?
Stenson Bennett?
Stenson Bennett, yeah.
Yep. He's showing it right now on NFL Network.
There it is. Look at that. I mean, come on. With 3 seconds left, you connect in the end zone like that. You don't see that every day.
And Sean McVay looks like Jay Binkley when it's the kickoff for the preseason football season. But we did get to sit back and watch a little bit over the weekend, which was the brioche of the weekend. Mac, who was your brioche of the weekend when you watch preseason football for over 14 hours while you have the house to yourself?
That's what you did this weekend. Mom leaves town, leaves him alone, and you watched preseason football.
Are you worried about your son being home alone? No. Preseason football's on. Yeah. He'll be fine.
He's got the NFL Network by his side.
Yeah, it's all good. Ordered a large pizza all by myself. And it was box fantastic.
Full awesome, yeah.
Box full of Kleenexes.
Yeah. God, it was a good weekend for you.
Wasn't for the allergies.
Your mom's not coming home, and you're so excited about it. She's staying for an extra day in Texas.
Oh, yeah, I got a few more days. It's great.
Okay, good.
Oh. Brioche, easy for me. This is Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He did all the things that we thought he could do. You know, at least I thought he could do. The improv, scramble, throw on the run, the accuracy, the poise, had that little flip pass when he was about to get hit for a first down, and that was a third down play. So, yeah, I mean, Caleb's got it all the intangibles.
You're excited about him. He's your brioche.
He's my brioche, baby.
My brioche of the weekend is Bo Nix. He played great. Look at him, man. He played great for the Denver Broncos. They're thinking they got themselves a starting quarterback out there. I know it's preseason. It's all fool's gold, really, until you get out there and you see what happens in the regular season. So many guys in sports in the preseason, whether baseball or football, they look great spring training. They look great in the preseason.
Shape of their life.
And then the real stuff starts, and like players start trying, and they're like, oh God, I was overmatched. So it's going to be interesting to see which of these quarterbacks totally looks overmatched, because a lot of the young guys did look good over the weekend. Like Stetson Bennett looked overmatched in a preseason game. It doesn't toll well for him moving forward.
My brioche of the weekend, which is best of the best of the best, Trey Lance.
Oh,
interesting.
And here's why. Because I feel like Trey Lance put Jerry Jones in a frenzy. Because I don't know if you saw, but obviously Dak didn't play. Trey Lance played an entire game. He was 25 of 41 for 188 yards. He ran the ball six times for 44 yards.
Doesn't 188 yards seem low with that many low. Completions?
Well, with 25 completions. Yeah. Of course it's low.
41 attempts is pretty high for preseason.
It's up there, man. Are you showcasing him?
And that's what's going on is Jerry sitting in his little suite going, see, that's why we don't pay Dak.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last leaf. It's Trey Lance.
That's exactly right.
We're going to let this kid play. He was a first-round pick, and he went from nowhere, started, and now look at him.
He should never have been a first-round draft pick. COVID got him to be a first-round pick.
And praise be that he's in Dallas now after a trade from the Niners to Dallas, and now you have Dak Prescott. You have CeeDee Lamb, who is still not reported.
Oh, Jerry now saying they miss CeeDee Lamb is rich. Real rich.
I mean, it's great because now you just – and that's why it's so brioche of the weekend, because it's Dallas and Trey Lance has, you know, the entire game. Looks like he can play. It's obviously preseason rosters, but this is the sort of thing that I think Jerry Jones is going to be like, we'll be fine if Dak moves on.
Right.
No, you won't. We'll be fine if CeeDee Lamb moves on. You won't.
You won't.
And then we'll be fine if Micah Parsons wants to go be a DM for somebody else. You won't.
You won't.
And it's just interesting to me because this is where we are in preseason football. Like, these three names – one of them we'll talk about in 3 weeks from now, and that's Caleb Williams. We probably won't talk much about Bo Nix because we already know Jared Stidham is going to be the starter.
That's what they're saying, but after that performance that Bo Nix had against the Colts, how do you not move him up the depth chart?
And you know that Sean Payton is a guy that likes to dabble in the cheat on my starter role. Like, okay, yep. Is that why, you know, you're going to see Jared Stidham be like, why were you in Bo? What, Bo Nix comes out of your office? Why was he in there for an hour? Ah, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Come on in. Take a seat. It's like, I think we got an issue here. You love to see that quarterback controversy in Denver.
Sure.
Bo Nix, obviously a lot of people high on him. I tweeted at Mac and Drew Nixon. I was like, hey, here you go. He was, you know, whatever. But his completions and his yardage were also a little bit off-putting. Like he had what? Like he was what? 10 of 15 for like 125 yards?
Yeah, I think it was even a little less than that, maybe.
Less than that, 114?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
10 completions. So he's
11.4 yards of completion. That's pretty good. That's a first down every time.
Fair enough.
You take that.
I guess you have to see the air yards per attempt, but yeah, that's fair.
Do you think people are rooting for Bo Nix, or do you think people actually care?
I think it's a very polarizing topic, and I'm being serious about
that. That's why I ask you.
Yeah, no, I think it's either one side or the other. I don't think there's anybody on the fence right now. I'm looking at the text line right now. Of course Bo did well. He's 30 years old with 15 years of college experience, right? There's that side of the crowd. There's me who goes, hey, he milked his college career for all he could. You know, he got the most out of it. Good for him. Nobody ever wants to leave college and grow up. So he figured out a way to do that. There's also the Denver side of things here in Kansas City where you're not going to root for the guy, obviously, because he plays for the Denver Broncos, and we're hoping that Denver still hasn't found their next quarterback. I don't know if Bo Nix is their next quarterback. But I think I look at him and I think he's going to be good because of that age, because of where he is in life. He's not entering the NFL as a 22-year-old. He's entering, I think he's what, 28 years old or whatever it is. He's entering in as a 26 years old.
Like my age.
So it's better than entering at 22. You have life experiences. You've been through a lot. You know what's going. I think the dude's already married, if I'm not mistaken, right? So you know how to juggle that kind of stuff already. There's like not a lot of new with Bo Nix, and of course coming from a football family as well has that experience. So I think there's the opportunity for him to do well, but I think people are rooting against him because he is older and he's different. You know, it's
24.
He's only 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. February 25th, 2000. But the thing about Bo Nix, if you take his career, he's supposed to be a stud at Auburn. Wasn't. Goes to another school in Oregon, has to play all these years. Finally comes out of Oregon. He's 24. Now this is just, I know 24 is very young, but by most time, the person is in the NFL at 24, they've already accomplished at least 3 years in the NFL.
And if you're in Major League Baseball, you're in Double A.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
But the thing about Bo Nix that I'm interested to see is...
Brock Purdy's 24.
Brock Purdy's 24? Yeah, and he's already been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, two NFC championships.
So that's the only reason I throw shade on Bo Nix is because I'm just concerned that, like, you know, if it didn't work out and he had to get older... Because, I mean, you think about being 24 years old playing against college kids. That's... massively an advantage.
Yeah.
Speaking of an advantage, Caleb Williams getting with one of the better quarterbacks of all time, or some would say the best quarterback of all time, with Tom Brady. Breaking news from the ML footballs, what they tweeted this is rookie quarterback Caleb Williams is now on Tom Brady's TB12 diet. He can no longer eat. You can look it up all you want. The two have been in touch as Brady has become a close mentor of Williams. Does this give you any belief, Mr. Fesco, that maybe this take is not going to be...
Caleb Williams is not going to be a successful quarterback in this league. Book it. Does it what now?
Does it give you any belief that that take won't live up to its truth?
Because he's eating kale?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. But, I mean, shouldn't you be, if you want to be successful, surround your people with successful
sure.
people?
But, I mean, how much is Tom Brady, like, is Tom Brady there every day coaching him? Is Tom Brady going to play in a Caleb Williams jersey? Like, you still have to go out there and make the plays. You still have to go out there and make the decisions. You still have to go out there and adjust to the NFL. Like, all the kale in the world is not going to get you to the level of Tom Brady. I've tried.
I know people get tired of hearing this when it comes to Caleb Williams and he makes those Mahomes types of plays. He did make a Mahomes couple type of plays in that preseason game.
Again, preseason.
Yeah, but I mean, it was starting versus starting. I mean, he was going up against Josh Allen and the Bills starting defense and starting offense, and he made a play where he did a fake handoff, rolled out to the right on the run, hit a guy on a dime 20 yards down the field.
Good. We'll see what happens in the regular season. I mean, I just don't make any judgments based on preseason. It's the most useless hunk of garbage that you can watch to try to make decisions on players.
It heightens your opinions and the ones that you don't care about. Yeah, I don't care. It's preseason. But your opinion's like, oh, yeah, see, I'm right.
Right.
See,
like,
that's what you do. That's what everyone does.
It's amazing how the game changes once the regular season kicks off. It's night and day different. Like, I was watching Sean McVay last night at his press conference for whatever reason, and he's talking about, you know, hey, guys got in some good work, they had fun out there today. I'm like, that's it, they had fun out there today. And, you know, for some of these guys in the fourth quarter that are trying to make a roster or something, like, it's important for those guys. I just can't, you know, sit here and go, oh my god, we learned so much from the preseason, we learned so much about these guys and who they are. Something happens when week one starts and everybody raises their level of play. It's a different style of football. It's faster. It's quicker. It's like, oh my god, this is the NFL.
It matters.
And so we'll see. Yeah, it does. It definitely matters. I think in the preseason, even if it is starters, they're just there to not get fined. They're just there to hopefully not get hurt, right? Like, that's why I can't sit around and make judgments on, oh my god, this guy's going to be wonderful based on week one of the preseason.
That was the Brio Show of the weekend. I don't know if it's a top or if it's a bit moving forward, but we had Mac, of course, Team Caleb Williams, Bob, Team Bo Nix, me, Team Trey Lance. We'll see where that moves on to in week two. But coming up on the other side, Bob found something that is counterfeitably wrong, if that's even a term to use. But I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco and Mac Morey as well. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio on a show we call Fesco in the Morning. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Mac, Bob, and Dusty with you on a Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. Little Royals off day on Sunday. I'm sure the guy that joined us in about 10 minutes enjoyed that
one. He enjoyed the heck out of that day yesterday, right?
Everybody but the fan enjoyed the Royals off game on a Sunday.
Well, it was just weird. Like, you're not used to an off day. And so doing some research about that, Kurt Nelson of the Royals Hall of Fame said that they're doing these two games, rivalry things or whatever, right? He said to me that the Royals wanted the series on the weekend with the Cardinals. So there you go, Friday and Saturday with the Sunday off day. So
yeah, players love the off day, coaches love the off day, media people love the off day, fan hated it.
Yeah.
What are we going to do now?
Hey, you're waiting for a game yesterday. Finish this series. Let's go.
It was gorgeous yesterday.
Perfect day outside.
My buddy wanted to have people over to swim, and I was like, dude, it's not a pool day. This is like a outside, toss the frizz around, you know, maybe do a little Sunday.
Toss the frizz. Little
Sunday fun day.
Yeah.
Cut the action off by about 6 and go to bed at 8:30. Not saying that's what I did, but, you know, you could have done that. You found an article that you think if this becomes in the NFL or in the MLB, we are doomed because of counterfeit jerseys of counterfeit just in general when it comes to, like, clothing.
Right. Like, so there's this soccer club, and it's called the Sheffield Wednesday Soccer Club. They're in the league that is below the UIL or whatever that soccer league's called over there, the EPL.
Yeah.
And it's the
UTI.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So they're like the minor league soccer. But what they're doing right now is this.
Yeah.
And this is they listed this press release about basically being careful of the merchandise you buy could be counterfeit merchandise, right? The last paragraph. Although we cannot prevent supporters from wearing counterfeit shirts away from Hillsborough, and that's their stadium, we do respectfully request that such products are not displayed inside the stadium. anyone found to be wearing a fake shirt inside Hillsboro could be asked to leave with information passed on to the relevant parties. Thank you for your cooperation. So if it'd be basically like going to Arrowhead or Kauffman, not buying officially licensed team merchandise, which people buy all the time because it's cheaper and it's more affordable. Mm. And if they catch you in it, they kick you out of the stadium. Well, that takes some balls, doesn't it?
That's not a Fabletics jersey. That's not Fanatics. That's not Starter. So you're saying the people that sell those like championship shirts on the corner by gas stations,
yes,
they're getting people kicked out of the game if that happens.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on right now. So if you don't buy basically from the team shop, I guess people were bringing like jerseys that weren't official team jerseys to their team store, trying to get their names ironed on the back, you know, like they put the nameplate on the back and whatnot, which I get. I understand. The stuff's expensive, right? I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. Team gear is wildly expensive for all of us. And so could you imagine the NFL doing something like that? Like how many people would be booted out of Arrowhead or any NFL stadium that for that matter every Sunday if they were not wearing the official team merchandise?
Yeah, and it makes sense that the NFL would do that because of the conglomerate that they are and the money that they can make.
Like, they'd be like,
you're not wearing that.
You want to say what kills the NFL? Mm-hmm. That would be a big step into killing the NFL. If all of a sudden they were determining what you could and could not wear when you went into a game, like I'm spending enough money on tickets. You know, I know what the tickets cost this year because we're splitting season tickets with a friend of mine. So I know how expensive it is. And if you now all of a sudden have to wear team licensed merchandise to get into the game, I think that would be something that would drive fans away.
Yeah. I saw a shirt that I could see a guy getting kicked out for this weekend. It said, blank, I'm a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
And on the back it said, Patrick effing Mahomes. And it was red and yellow. And right. I was like, that's interesting.
The one that I saw back in 2001, I'll never forget. It was great. It was a woman standing outside during the game, burning a dart, mm-hmm. right? Like on the concourse. Mm-hmm. And she had a shirt on that says, I'm a GD Chiefs fan.
Mm-hmm. You got to go. You got to go, Nancy. Can't have that shirt on.
Yeah.
Somebody from the 913 says, how are they going to prove that when you walk into the game? And then from above text, 816, AI surveillance would make this really
simple.
Have
you seen those AI cameras at games?
I don't ever want to go.
Oh, my God. Like, they can zoom in on everybody, and it's perfect.
They can see if you have a nose hair hanging out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm into that.
You know, are you going to have people like in those yellow jackets monitoring who walks in with what? Or is it just going to be like happen chance? Like if you walk in and somebody sees you, they kick you out. I don't know how it's going to work. The stadium that they show where this Wednesday team plays their soccer games, mm-hmm. a very small stadium compared to anything here, you know, in the United States. So it's probably a little bit easier, but they know what official team gear is based on the brand of it. Like, right. Who does the NFL gear? Nike, right? If you have something that's probably, you know, not Nike and it's, you know, it's Reebok or something. I don't know, whoever's making, you know, gear that's not the official gear, they can see that and probably, you know, boot you, unless it's an old jersey or something, obviously back in the day when Reebok did it, but oh my God.
Somebody from the 816 says, I have that shirt, LMAO.
Which shirt are we talking about?
Either I'm a GD Chiefs fan or blank, I'm a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
You know what a fan would never have to worry about not having correct gear?
Mm.
Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
I am really intrigued, though, to like, because preseason is just the absolute laughing stock, the NFL. I am interested. Who do they play week two? Colts.
Let me see.
He's going to make another song. Because, I mean, that thing went viral.
Well, you have to. You have to. I mean, you got to go weekly now, right?
AI picks you up, tracks you all the way back to your seat. Yellow jackets get notified you're tossed.
Yeah, it's actually pretty simple to do that with the way the technology works today. Yeah, section 122, row 3, seat 4, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you imagine baseball did it? Like, if all these American sports leagues started to do this, that would be something I think that would piss fans off.
Well, I don't think they'll ever do it.
No, you never say never.
That's true.
Because somebody's looking at this right now in the NFL office going, is this something we need to consider? And there's going to be a meeting. There's going to be conversation. Somebody's going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's making its rounds.
For sure.
And then somebody with cooler heads prevail. Look, we charge our fans enough for this kind of stuff. Let them wear an unlicensed shirt to a game. It's not a big deal.
I mean, if I could wear an unlicensed shirt to a Royals game, it would just say Moneymaker on the back. And the reason I say that is because our Moneymaker on the Royals pre- and post-game show, our Royals insider, Joshua Vernier, the greatest person in baseball history, joins us now here on Fesco in the Morning. Mr. Vernier, how are you after a nice Sunday day off to be able to kick back and relax?
I'm doing well, except for on the double play. See, making 115-some-odd bets over the course of 5.5 months, you're going to find yourself on the losing end, and that's where I'm at as we head down the stretch. You Drew Nixon, doing very well. Cody Tapp, he's doing well, but not so much myself, not so much Jay Binkley, and Bob still, Mr. Parlay, still waiting to hit that big one.
Still waiting, Vern, all the time, still waiting to hit that parlay. Let's look at the weekend. You split with the Cardinals. You really should have taken two against the St. Louis Cardinals, but what did you think of the two-gamer with St. Louis?
Now, this might sound obvious, but to me, the better team won every single game on this five-game homestand. The team that went out there and just straight up played the best baseball. Again, I understand that might sound rather obvious, but the Royals in that five-game homestand had two quality starts. Those are the only two games that they won. The first two against Boston, you have a base running advantage went to Boston. The better defense was Boston. The better starting pitching was the Red Sox starter. You could say the same about game one against the St. Louis Cardinals. And while the post-game show quickly devolved into why is Lucas Urseg pitching the seventh inning instead of the ninth inning, and let's blame the bullpen, let's blame the offense, let's remember how this team arrived at 12 games above 500. It was on the backs of that rotation, that defense, and that base running unit. So listen, when you're playing a good team like St. Louis, like Boston, tonight like Minnesota, you're not going to win very often when your strengths are outdone by the opposition, right? The Royals' rotation has spun a quality start in half the games this season. The defense is the best in the American League. The base running is the best in the American League. But while that's the reason why I have confidence tonight and tomorrow and for Wednesday's finale and just about every single game, because I think the Royals have the best rotation, have the better defense, and the better base running just about every single night, you still have to go out there and execute. And the Royals did a very poor job of executing on the base pass defensively and on the mound for the most part of that homestand. So, yeah, you know, where I'm at with this team right now is I'm not afraid of anybody in the other dugout. I approach every single game as if the Royals are going to win. I mean, they've only been the underdog once since the All-Star game. I think it's 21 of the 22 games since the Midsummer Classic the Royals have been favored to win, and that's because of those three facets. So, you know, you look at Singer and Lugo and Reagans, the defense and the base running. If the Royals are going to take two of three in Minnesota, those are going to be the facets that lead the way. If anyone's holding their breath waiting for the bullpen to put the team on their back and lead them to a victory, I just don't know what you've been watching. The bullpen, yeah. The offense have been the fourth and fifth best aspects of this team. And that's what it's going to be down the stretch. I'm not looking at them to be the reason why you punch your ticket to the postseason.
Yeah, let's talk about that bullpen, man. It's a tough watch, Vern. I mean, and you mentioned Urseg. Why is he in the ninth? Because if you can't get to the ninth, then you wasted an opportunity. Like, I love the way they're using Urseg. He's the guy that needs to come in these, you know, it's time to, you know, nut up type situations, right?
Yeah, without question. I think Matt Quatrero's handling him beautifully. I think it's five straight high-leverage situations. Now, you ease him in when he's making his Royals debut, but since then, it's, hey, game on the line, big dog. We need you. Go out there. And I mean, the guy's allowed three base runners so far. Hasn't given up an earned run. Has more strikeouts than innings pitched. I'm very happy with what he's done, but to those that are frustrated with this, you know, the bullpen usage, again, Hunter Harvey is now on the 15-day IL with a lower back injury. Best case scenario, he returns in a few weeks as this team opens up that 20-game stretch beginning with three against Philadelphia. But, you know, if you're going through and ranking your relievers and using them by that ranking and in high leverage, yeah, Lucas Erceg is number one.
Yeah.
You know, Hunter Harvey was probably number two. So you lose him, and what, Sam Long is suddenly your second-best reliever? You know, Chris Bubich is maybe the third best reliever, which, you know, good. It's nice that we can at least give you three names. And again, the reason why the bullpen is similar to the offense is, you know, you're hoping you have two, three guys going well. And for the most part, the Royals offense has had Bobby, Vinny, Salvi throughout the season going well, and you're looking for a few other contributors. When it comes to the bullpen, I know everyone became very comfortable with this guy gets the seventh, this guy gets the eighth, and this guy gets the ninth. We all were spoiled during HDH, but there's something that I think a lot of people forget about HDH in 2014. Forget about 2015. In 2014, when they really became HDH, Greg Holland was an all-star the year before. Right, Wade Davis was putting together a historic 2014, and Kelvin Herrera already had two good years under his belt prior to 2014. So those guys earned. You get this inning, you get this, and you get this. There's nobody on this team that has ever, as far as the bullpen is concerned, there isn't an all-star out there. There isn't a guy that has multiple dominating seasons in the last year, the previous two seasons. So, you know, Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff, they're going to have to mix and match probably for the rest of the season. You have Lucas Erceg, but until then, you're just riding the hot arm, just like in the lineup. You know, you move guys around depending on who's going well. And when I look at this bullpen right now, yeah, it's going to be a tough watch for the rest of the season, and it's going to be a difficult task for Q to deploy them at the right time. Hopefully he does have his finger on the pulse of this team. But if anyone's looking for consistency as far as the usage is concerned, ask yourself who's earned it. Who's earned a set role in this bullpen? I'll give you Lucas Erceg. He's earned the highest of leverage. Other than that, no one's earned anything. So let's stop acting as if it's a plug and play. And obviously Q should know how to deploy these dudes.
When you talk about the starting rotation, the defense, and the speed of this team, it's interesting because here we are set up for another gigantic series against the Minnesota Twins. We've seen it with the Red Sox, we've seen it with the Guardians, and we're set up with what would be like all the planets are in a line here with Singer, Lugo, Reagans, and you mentioned two quality starts in the last five games of the homestand. Got to have at least two out of three quality starts, you'd think, with your big hoses going to the slab tonight to just shove, starting with Brady Singer.
Well, you hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, Boston took 4 of 6 from the Royals in the season series, and the only guys that the Red Sox faced were Singer, Lugo, and Reagans. They beat Singer twice. They beat Lugo twice. Cole Reagans spun a pair of quality starts. That's the only reason why the Royals were able to save face against the Red Sox. So, yeah, you feel good, especially when you factor in, and you don't want to revel in the fact that the opponent is banged up, but now, Minnesota has a big three as well in Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober, and Joe Ryan. But Joe Ryan likely done for the season, so there's a big hole in tomorrow's matchup as far as the pitching matchup is concerned. Seth Lugo going for the good guys, and it's still, I don't believe it's been announced yet who's going to be taking the spot of Joe Ryan. You know, tonight, for as much as I'm happy with how Brady Singer's pitched, you know, Pablo Lopez is a former All-Star. He's a guy that's made a run at a Cy Young Award. Bailey Ober might be the hottest pitcher in the American League. He's the guy going in the finale. So, again, like I said, I always feel confident when you have this rotation, this defense, and this base running unit, because to me it's the ultimate leveler of the playing field. They are the most powerful weapons in the game of baseball. To be able to pitch and defend and take the extra 90 feet on the base pass, that's how this Royals team has put themselves in position to where they have one of the three best run differentials in the American League. But you're at their yard. I want 2 of 3. I'm going to hope for 2 of 3. Am I saying that I'm expecting 2 of 3? No, I'm expecting good baseball, and I hope that the Royals are the team that comes out on top because the Minnesota Twins blink first. That's what this season's been, guys, right? I mean, a close game in the sixth, seventh inning, whose defense is going to blink first? It's normally the opposition. But as we saw against the Cardinals and the Red Sox, you know, Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, some sure-handed fielders having, bumpy moments. So if that happens, this could easily turn into a twin series victory.
You mentioned Massey, and then you brought up Javi earlier with the injuries. Like, where are we on that? I know Harvey to the DL, obviously, but, like, is Massey's just going to be day-to-day probably for the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know, he's already been to the IL twice with this back issue, and in talking with Q prior to Saturday's finale against St. Louis, it was, you know, kind of a, here we go again. You know, you hope that he feels good when he shows up to Target Field coming up on Tuesday. I mean, he was in the lineup on Saturday, but he showed up to the ballpark, knocks on the manager's office and says, it ain't happening today. This is, I need these 48 hours. Unfortunately, the dude's got to hop on a plane. I can't imagine that's a great thing for a tight back. But this is something you're going to have to monitor with Michael Massey, likely for the rest of his career, which is why, you know, that second base position, you're seeing Mikel over there a little bit more often, is because I just don't know that you can pencil in that position as set for the next few years. For as good as Michael Massey's hitting, that's not a guy that you can write in pen, because you can't, unfortunately, to no fault of his own, You can't rely on him, because that's going to happen quite often. Him showing up, waking up in the morning, and that back is just barking.
You, I'm sure this will get brought up on your pregame show, but Vern, is it safe to say it's okay to put a prop bet for Salvador Perez at a home run this evening?
Because he owns Target Field?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Listen, you're doing better than I am at the gambling, so I'm not going to give you advice. I would lean towards tomorrow.
Mm. Why?
Just Pablo Lopez. I respect him in a big game. I'm hoping a big crowd at Target Field. But he hasn't been great this year, but it's in there, and I'm expecting it to show up tonight.
Okay.
All right, so do it tomorrow if you're going to bet Salvi.
I think tomorrow's the bet for Salvi to go bridge.
How are you watching the last 40 games or so of Major League Baseball season? And I'm talking about the other teams as well. Are you scoreboard watching? Are you watching the Mariners and the Astros?
Only Cleveland.
Like, only Cleveland.
Only Cleveland. Okay. I'm solely focused on the division. Because to me, this whole... The past month has been strange. Some of the sentiment I'm hearing from Royals fans, come on. Yeah, you beat up on the White Sox and the Tigers, but do you know your record against everyone else? Who cares? You're in the American League Central. You know, it's not the Royals' fault that the Yankees and the Astros don't have 13 cracks at the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians, they have 13 chances, and they're 5-5 against Chicago so far. The Royals have dominated Chicago. They've won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they have a chance to even up the season series with Minnesota beginning tonight. Understandably, we praise Andy Reid for his domination of the AFC West, consistently winning that division. That is the goal. That's how you guarantee some home games at Kauffman Stadium. It's a joke to me how often I'm hearing people go, all right, a third wild card. The Royals hanging on to the third wild card by a game. And the third wild card is nothing.
You don't get a home game, right?
And Bob, 40-plus games, and we're talking about the final spot in the American League playoffs, man, that can be gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Cleveland is with it. Shoot, the best record in the American League isn't that far out of reach. So I'm not going – if we don't talk about the wild card on the other side of the parking lot, I'm not doing it here. I remember what John Sherman said of, hey, I just want to know what a wild card team feels like. I get that. We can talk about the wild card in the final 2 weeks of the season. Right now it's about getting that division because, I mean, unless there's someone out there that says, oh, well, Cleveland is just far superior to the Royals. I don't feel that way. I think the Royals are better than the Cardinals, the Twins, the Red Sox, Cleveland. I'll give you Baltimore. You know, I'll give you Philly and the Dodgers. There's a few teams where I'm like, okay, the Royals don't stack up well with those squads, but in a one-gamer, I'll take them against the Yankees. I'll take them against the Orioles and the Dodgers. When you have Bobby, when you have that rotation, when you have the run producers, the consistent run producers like Vinny Salvi and the aforementioned Bobby Witt Jr., There's no reason why we should temper our expectations. Cleveland is there. You have seven more meetings with them in a 10-day span. Man, I can't wait for that stretch coming up in a few weeks from now. But no, the only thing I'm really paying attention to is what the Guardians are doing.
Yeah, okay, that's a good way to look at it, because we were all kind of talking about the best way to kind of approach the rest of this baseball season. And I'm like, I can't get caught up in every single game.
It's too much.
It's too much, man.
Especially the wild card. I mean, it's this team's hot, this guy's hurt, this guy sucks, this team's good.
Right.
It's just too much.
It is. It just becomes overpowering. All right, let's see how good you are at the baseball card game. You ready?
Man. Yeah.
I think this should be an easy one, Vern. We got an 89 score featuring Kelly Gruber.
Oh, Toronto Blue Jays.
There you go. One for one, baby.
Yeah, I never liked him. Just never really cared for him. I think it was because I was always disappointed. You see the all-star card pop out. I'm like, oh, it's Kelly Gruber. You can't even give me George Bell.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You liked baseball players back in the day based on the cards that you pulled. And if you had like 10 Pete Vukovic's, you're just like, I'm done with Pete Vukovic, man.
Yeah, the mustache is cool, but it's enough.
All right. 88 tops, Mike Kingery.
89 tops, Mike Kingery. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you pull this.
Yankees?
No, Mariners.
Oh, God bless it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that floated in the mind, but that was a distant third behind the Yankees in red. So,
and I think this is
two.
I think this is 1990, but I can't tell anymore. Tom Treblehorn.
Philadelphia Phillies.
No, manager of the Brewers.
Mm. Treblehorn.
Damn.
Yeah.
Samson. I knew that. I knew that wasn't a player.
Yeah. It's Tommy T, they call him up there in Milwaukee, don't they? Like, you guys used to roll him out when things were going bad. Yeah, let's go get Tom Treblehorn.
Bob, I finally made it in the studio and saw that box of baseball cards.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what the inner child in me was feeling when I saw that. I wanted to organize them.
You should have.
I wanted to put them in order by the number on the back of the card and by the year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Help yourself next time.
Well, I'll be there all day. And you know, you could ask my wife. I can flip that nerd switch on real quick.
Oh, we all can. That's why, like, when you start to clean stuff out, it's better to let somebody else throw your stuff away, because you start to get attached and you start to go through it. You're like, I can't get rid of this. Even though I haven't looked at it in 10 years, I can't get rid of it.
I need every Sports Illustrated I've ever had. Don't
That's
you
right.
dare throw those out.
Keep those things.
Exactly.
Right, well, you enjoy.
All right, guys,
game.
I appreciate
enjoy the
it.
Series, and we will talk to you next Monday, and hopefully it's a first-place team in the AL Central.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
That's right. That's Vern. That's our Royals insider, Josh Vern. You're here at 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, Steph Curry joins some elite company. We're told not to look at the list. Don't look at it. Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Bob Fesco, Dusty Lake is back morning with you on a Monday morning. Alan Carr just realized his initials are AC, so it just continues to dig into the narrative that he's a traffic guy. Alan Carr, a vehicle, AC, gotta have it. Although you don't have to have it the last week. That's been nice. It's been windows down.
Oh, windows
Although
down.
Although today's kind of muggy.
Well, yeah, but I still had windows down the whole way in.
Yeah? No highway driving?
I didn't do the highway today, no. I did not.
Side rows with the windows down.
Usually on Mondays, I take the side streets. I go a different way every day, Dusty, just to change it up a little bit. Otherwise, it just gets a little mundane.
Mundane. I like that word. It's like mowing the lawn is the greatest mundane task.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Gold tweets, a soggy morning at Chiefs Kingdom Camp. Practice starts at 10:15, and they will have Justin Ross on the show today.
Ooh, there you go. Fan
Everybody's favorite wide receiver joining Cody and Gold.
Is today a short practice? It starts at 10:15? That seems late in the day, doesn't it? Yeah, I guess coming off the game.
Maybe it's the
last
10-10.
Whatever that means, right? This is the last week, I believe, up in St. Joe, so if you want an opportunity to go see the Chiefs, get on up there the last couple of days of a training camp. Then they're back here in the... Get ready for the real season, right? Get ready for the it's fine.
Okay.
Get ready for the real season, man. Time.
From the 1-3 is that 1-303? Vern's tripping. We ain't catching Cleveland.
Not with that attitude.
They're four games behind Cleveland.
Yeah, that's not a big deficit at all.
Did you hear, Vern? There's two big series still against the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, Mike?
Come on. We got a lot of games. Here. Got a lot of games. With that attitude, nothing's going to happen. You got to have the attitude that you're going to win the division. My dad used to tell me growing up, never try to get a B on your test. Always strive for an A. Because if you strive for an A, then if you get a B, okay. But if you strive for a B and then you get a C, well, that's no good. So you've got to shoot for the stars, man. Let's go.
It's like contract talks with a boss. He's like, how much do you want to make for the new game?
$10 million.
$100K a year. He said, well, that's not going to happen. I said, all right, 80. He said, well, that's not going to happen either. And I'll stop there. Steph Curry joins Elite Company. Don't look. I want you all to guess the list.
Yeah, so I didn't even click on it.
Okay,
I was told not to look.
You.
I don't even know.
It says look away.
Thank you for listening to me.
Baby,
I appreciate that.
Look away.
So Steph Curry joined this elite list. He's now the ninth player to join this list. I want you guys to name the other eight.
What
I think you
is
can.
The list?
Players to win an NBA title, an NBA MVP, an NBA Finals MVP, and now an Olympic gold medal.
I'm going to say Michael Jordan's on that list. Boom. LeBron.
Boom.
Bird.
Boom.
Magic.
Boom. There's four.
Clyde the Glide Drexler.
Did not.
Kevin Durant's on that list.
There's five. Three more.
MVP, Finals MVP, Finals gold, and an Olympic
title,
gold.
Yep.
There's going to be somebody on there that we don't know, like Bill Walton or something, like from back in the day.
Has Tatum ever won an MVP? No, he's never won in Finals MVP. No.
Paul Pierce.
No.
You want
Greg Ostertag.
Hits? Want any big hints?
No, these are, not yet.
Okay.
We how many players do we have left?
Three left.
Crap.
Big names. That's the hint.
Yeah.
Big names. Shaq.
Yep.
Kobe.
Yep. One more.
Butterbean.
Butterbean. God, he knocked Johnny Knoxville the hell out in Jackass. Is it an obvious name that we're missing?
It's a big name.
Pippen?
Nah, he's never been in Finals MVP.
If you ask him, he has.
Yeah. Or a league MVP.
Oh, hang on a sec. Barkley?
No. No. Same era.
Kareem?
No.
Same era.
See, I just keep saying same era. You want me to give it?
No.
You've got this. All-time great.
It's not a lot. No. I'm done. We got 7 out of 8. That ain't
pretty
bad.
Good.
You said shoot for A's. We got a B+.
I'm going to give Dwayne Wade.
Hakeem the Dream.
Ah.
I said Elijah Wan.
There you go. And then Steph Curry joins that list.
Cool. For not being a basketball fan, Bobby did pretty well.
Yeah, you did great.
Well, I mean, you talk about the best of the best. It wasn't like name three guys who had four assists in one game, and then, you know.
I like those lists because there are some lists where it's like, oh, yeah, all these greats, and then some run random guy. It's like, no, this list is like, these are all surefire, first ballot legends.
Well, Steph entered that category. Like, for me, you know, watching the basketball over the last 16 days, it really opened my eyes to how good international basketball is and how fun international basketball is. And for 2 weeks, you start to develop these relationships with players, right? And like I'm bought in. I love what I saw. It was fun, right? That's where Major League Baseball comes into play and says, okay, we need to do this with our players in the 2028 Olympics. The Olympics are July 14th through the 30th, I believe, are the dates of the 2028 Olympics. And that's right in the wheelhouse of kind of the all-star break, the dog days of summer. Major League Baseball needs to shut this thing down for 2 weeks during the Olympics and let the biggest stars of the sport play in the Olympic Games. It's okay to do that, right? We've seen it now. We've seen how it works. The WNBA shut their season down. The NWSL kind of shut their season down to allow their best athletes, you know, to play in the Olympics. The NBA, obviously, it's after the season, so the hockey shuts down for the Olympic break during the season. I think it's the best way to market your players. I think those guys and gals for the women's team got so much exposure over the last 2 weeks that if Major League Baseball didn't watch that and didn't say, damn, we need to do that with our players coming up in 4 years, then they've missed the boat of the entire Olympics. There's no better event to market your players than the Olympic Games. Everybody's paying attention and watching them.
Yeah, everybody found out why Steph Curry's the greatest shooter of all time.
Right.
Everyone found out who Katie Ledecky is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's just the way it goes. Everybody found out who the best pole vaulter was in the entire Olympics.
That French
guy.
Yeah,
he just got eliminated because, well,
that happens. So, like, when you look at, you know, about what baseball needs to do, one of the things that we've talked about over the years is that baseball just doesn't do a good enough job of marketing their players. This is a golden opportunity to market your players in front of people who probably don't watch your sport. I don't watch a lot of basketball, but damn, I wasn't missing a minute of Team USA watching Steph Curry dominate like he did over the last couple of days, watching LeBron James play like he was 25 again, watching Kevin Durant make plays. Like it was remarkable to watch these guys play. It was fun. It was entertaining. That's what baseball needs to do in the Olympics. They need to market their players on this stage so the casual fan like me or whoever can watch these guys fall in love with them, then hopefully it carries over to Major League Baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.